horrific scenes of devastation down under, we'll take you to one of the hottest hot zones on the planet on today's podcast.
This is The Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Hey folks, I'm Chuck Holton. Thanks for watching The Hot Zone. And if you've been following the news, I'm sure you've seen about the fires in Australia, just all over the place, but mostly in New South Wales. That's kind of the area between Brisbane and Sydney on the east coast of the southern part of the Australian continent. And these people are in a bad way. Unbelievable. So, you know, millions of acres have gone up in flames and thousands of homes have been swallowed up in the fires in New South Wales. More than 20 people have lost their lives already, and they say maybe a half a billion animals have been killed by one estimate. So that's just the beginning, because summer's just getting started down there. So far, 2,700 firefighters were battling the blazes as of Sunday. There are over 3,000 Army Reserve forces fighting 136 fires across New South Wales Monday, and only 69 are contained. 24 people have died already in the season, and they say maybe a third of all koalas in New South Wales have been killed by the fires. That's terrible. The smoke in Sydney has gotten so bad that the air quality measures 11 times the hazardous level, and an area five times the size of Puerto Rico has now been burned. That includes 1,300 houses destroyed. Firefighters are now coming in from all over the place, including the United States, to help relieve those tired Australian firefighters. And let's talk to some of those right now. All right, so I've got a great opportunity now to bring in two firefighters who have been battling the blazes in Australia, and they just happen to be grandson and grandfather, Sam and Adair. Hey, it's great to have you on, and thank you for being with us today.
That's not a problem.
Yes, I'd like to be able to bring you up to date with what's happening over here.
Well, I understand that you've been pulling 12-hour shifts over there fighting the blazes. You're about halfway between Brisbane and Sydney, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, and so tell me what it's been like. How long have you been at this? And I think I saw a picture of you, Adair, running a chainsaw that was pretty amazing. So tell me about what it's like fighting these fires.
Well, we've started, in August. August, September is kind of when our fire season started, so we've been going for a number of months now. Grandpa does some chainsaw work. I think he'd like to tell you a bit more about that.
My particular job out there to specialise is bringing down the trees that are on fire, generally within 25 to 30 yards of the fire line. They're very, very old growth trees, quite high, and a lot of them have hollows up the middle, so the fire gets inside them, goes right to the top, and then we get spark overs if we get a wind change, so that's where we start to bring those trees down. Anything up to 5 metres in circumference, quite large trees, and on occasions I have been known to actually get inside the tree and cut it from the inside, simply because of the terrain that it's on. You cannot stand on the bottom edge. It's easier to be inside the tree.
You said 5 meters in circumference. That's a pretty good sized tree.
Yep. They're big, all right.
Now, many of these are eucalyptus, are they not?
Most of them are eucalyptus.
Yeah, so I mean, when those things get hot, they've got so much oil in them that they just explode, don't they?
Yep, they do. Yep.
And we've had this drought going for a long time now, and part of that has brought down a lot of leaf litter. The trees have died, and we've got up to 3 to 4, even 5 inches of leaf litter on the ground. The fire will go through the tops of the trees, and often we'll get a case 5 or 6 weeks later where a second fire will go through. And that's what happened up at a place called Waitalabar, not so far from Glen Innes. We were up there fighting that fire. 6 weeks later, another fire went through and totally destroyed the town. I believe up to about 35 houses were lost when that happened, because all the leaf litter had come down and a second bushfire went through the same area.
Mm. Oh, wow. I've never heard of it being able to be burned twice. That's incredible. I mean, obviously very dangerous to be out there. Can you tell me, most people in the United States just have heard that there are fires over there, but we have fires out west in the United States every year. What makes these fires different from the fires that we see typically?
These fires are just on a magnitude and of a scale that we've never experienced before. Like, we've had bad fire seasons previously, like last year was bad, the year before that was bad, but this is just on a completely different scale. You know, we're usually only having to deal with one or two very large fires of a fire season, but this fire season we're having dozens, like just fire after fire after fire that is growing to an enormous size. And it's hard to try and contain those kinds of fires because of the drought, the amount of fuel that's available everywhere. These fires just burn with an intensity that is just beyond comprehension. Like, you know, some of these fire fronts are burning, you know, well over 100 meters high. You know, they're burning 30, 40 kilometers in 20 minutes sometimes. Like, just the ferocity and the fire behavior, you know, these fires are spotting. So when that throws the embers ahead of the fire, you know, fires are starting, you know, 20, 30 kilometers ahead of the main fire front sometimes. And it's just, you know, these fires are creating their own weather systems. You know, the thunderstorms are forming above them, creating dry lightning, which starts new fires. Like, it's, you know, it turns the sky to black. Like, you know, it's as dark as night sometimes.
At present, we have approximately 16 million acres have been burnt out. 16 million. Phenomenal area. And this has been exacerbated by the drought. Everything is absolutely tinder dry. There's very, very little moisture in there. That humidity is often down around that 8 to 10%. The wind sometimes 40, 50, 60 k's an hour, or in your terms, 40, 50 mile an hour. And they just take off. They're phenomenally hard to control, and we simply don't have enough units to be there. But in saying that, because of the intensity of them, you really don't want to be there. You have to wait for them to come and set up strategic lines to be able to control these fires, often with backburning, which takes place at night, but that's conditional upon the direction of the wind and able to burn back against what's coming towards you. Very, very difficult to do it. And our people have been out there for so long now, and they're all getting very, very tired. Put a week out on the fire line of 12 hours a day, you want a few days off. Like, and we've been doing this for up to 4 months now. Excuse me. So we need a rest, but we're thankful. We've got people from the United States, Canada, New Zealand coming in to help us. And it's made a big difference to be able to give some of our people a bit of a rest before they get back out again. As a result, of course, the time that they spend out there, it's like the stone in the middle of a river, a big ripple effect. People can only do it for so long. They've got their own families to support when they go away. They often don't get paid from the work that they've left behind, or if they're their own business people, they simply don't get paid at all. If they're not out there doing what they normally do, electricians and plumbers and all those sorts of people, then their family bank account is suffering.
Wow. So, Adair, you've been doing this job for many, many years now. Have you ever seen anything like this before?
No, nothing at all like this. This is totally new territory. But they keep saying this is going to be the new norm. But if we get the rains back again, which we hope for, then things will change quite dramatically. But at this stage, because of the dryness, we're just going on and on. Every day there's a new fire. We've got storms forecast again tonight here, and they're often dry lightning strikes all over the country. Our little brigade here is really busy. We had 5 successive call outs 3 days ago, one after another, going to lightning strikes, trying to handle them before they got too big.
Wow. So, Adair, I'm the son of a fire chief. My dad was a firefighter when I was a kid, and he used to take me out with him to fight brush fires out in Nevada where I lived. And so is that kind of how you got into this?
Well, we were farming people, and everybody helps each other out here. And if somebody needs a hand next door, well, that's what you do. You just go over and help them out. besides, you don't want their fire coming into your place, so it's a lot better to put it out before it gets that big. But they're just getting away so quickly at present. The resources are absolutely stretched to the limit to try and contain this. We're sending people all over the country to help out in different areas. When it eases off in one of our areas here, we had a strike team that went down into the Hunter Valley towards Newcastle earlier this week, and they were all our people that got on a truck and went down to help the next door neighbours, so to speak, even though they might be 400 or 500 k's away.
Wow. Well, I just found out today that I'm going to get to come over there and visit you all here in a couple of weeks. And so I'm really looking forward to meeting you face to face. And hand me a spade. I'll go out there and help you. the only experience I have fighting fires is when I was 12, but I think it'll come back pretty quick. thank you very much for being
like
with us.
We'd like to see you out here, and we'll certainly be able to show you where some of these fires have been, and you'll be able to understand just how dry the land is. There's no water left in the dams. That's another problem that we have, accessing water. It's not like in Canada where you run hoses from one water hole to the next and pumps. All our water is carted on the back of the trucks. And in order to be able to continue to fight these, we have to set big water trucks up with 20, 30, 40,000 litres on and use them as our little reservoirs until it's all gone, and then away they go, sometimes up to 50 or 60 miles to go and get another truckload of water. There's just none left in the rivers.
Wow, that's amazing. We'll be praying for you all. I know you need it, and hopefully the people on our podcast here will get a chance to get to know you a little bit better when I get over there in a few weeks. So God bless you, and stay safe, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Yeah, we look forward to seeing you as well. Yeah. All right. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Chuck.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you. God bless you. From Sydney to your place, driving is what, about 5 hours or so? All right, folks. Thanks for watching. That's all I've got for the Hot Zone today. I'm bringing you stuff that you don't get on the everyday news. And so share it with your friends. Let's keep this thing growing. All right. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.